Well, good afternoon, brethren. Happy Sabbath. I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving Day. I know I certainly did. We had the wonderful opportunity to have all of my sisters, my mom and dad, with us here over Thanksgiving here in Cincinnati. And we really had a wonderful time. And I hope you did as well. Well, brethren, you know, Thanksgiving might be my favorite time of year just because it's simple, it's straightforward. We're all thankful for the blessings that God gives us. And we're filled with a lot of gratitude. And the other reason that I like it is because it gives us a time to pause and reflect and gain a little bit of moment of clarity about where we've come, because we're reflecting on all the blessings that we do have and sort of thinking about where we are in our particular point in life, and also looking ahead and saying, okay, what else do I want to do with my life? Where do I want to go? And I think sometimes those moments of clarity can be fleeting because, you know, we come home, we go back to, you know, where we're from after Thanksgiving, and the distractions of life creep in, the necessities of daily life encroach upon our time. And, you know, sometimes we can wake up and years have gone by and we realize, you know, we're really not where we want to be in our life. We haven't accomplished all the goals and the dreams that we had for ourselves. And brethren, it's hard to accomplish anything if we don't have that clarity of purpose. So how can we keep it? How can we gain clarity of purpose in our life, and how can we maintain it? Brethren, the answer that I truly believe the answer is that we need to live by a personal mission statement. We should each of us create a personal mission statement and then try to live by it. So, brethren, what is a personal mission statement? I think there are many definitions of it, but the one that I've come with, and it's the one that I'm going to use for purposes of this message today, it's really just one or two sentences that answer a fundamental question. What do I want to accomplish with my life? What do I want to accomplish with my life? And the answer that you give should give both you and others who may read it or hear it at least a clue about what your values are, what your priorities are. So, brethren, my purpose today is to encourage you to create your own personal mission statement and to give you some suggestions on how to start this process. So why is it such a valuable thing to put in the time to create a personal mission statement? You know, lots of businesses do this, but is this something that we should be doing with our own lives? I think there's a lot of value in it, brethren, and I think there's really three big things of why it's valuable and why you should really listen to what I have to say today. Number one is what I've already mentioned, clarity. You need to have clarity in order to reach any type of goal. If you just have a vague, fuzzy notion of something, it's really hard to know if you've met your goal. So clarity of purpose about what you want to accomplish. Number two, it gives you clarity into your values and your priorities. And number three, it helps you make better decisions and helps you make those decisions faster, because you might have two really good choices in front of you, two really good opportunities in front of you, and either one would be perfectly fine. But if you don't have a mission and you don't know where you're going or what you're trying to accomplish, you might choose one and that's fine, but it's not going to take you where you ultimately want to go. But if you know what you want to do, you can choose the good choice that will lead you to fulfill your mission. So it will help you be more focused and intentional in your life, in your choices, and your overall behavior. So this is not a self-help speech. So there is biblical support for this. And so I'd like to have us all turn to the book of Luke. See that this is a very biblical concept that we all should be following. Luke chapter 4. We'll go and we'll start Luke chapter 4, it's not what I wanted. It's not Luke chapter 4. Let's see here. Brethren, this is what happens when you use the internet for your research. Okay, it's Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Not verse 6, verse 16. So this is talking about Jesus. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So, brethren, I would submit to you that this was Jesus' personal mission statement. Now, clearly he was here to save us and die for our sins, but this is the type of statement that sort of explained and directed him on what he wanted to do. It was filled with action, filled with a lot of different things that he was going to do. He was going to preach. He was going to heal. He was going to give recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So he knew what he was supposed to do. He had a plan on how he was going to do it. And then at the end, he said, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And how we might be able to translate that to in our personal life is saying, "This is my mission, and I'm going to do it," and have a positive attitude. It's going to happen, right? So Jesus had a mission statement, and we should too. He also gave the church a mission statement, and it's a very, very familiar scripture. And we won't turn there, but it's Matthew 28, starting verse 18. It's the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So he gave the church a mission. He gave them something to do. He told them that you need to go, you need to make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. And brethren, the United Church of God also has a mission statement that aligns with this. And they also have something called a vision statement, which I think goes hand in hand with the mission. I'd like to read you that vision statement of the United Church of God. "A church led by God's Holy Spirit, joined and knit together by what every member supplies, with all doing their share, and growing in love to fulfill God's great purpose for humanity, to bring many children to glory." And that is based on Ephesians 4, verse 16, and Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. So, brethren, I'd like to encourage you, when you craft your own personal mission statement, let's think about how our own personal mission statement can help fulfill the vision of the church and the mission of the church. Brethren, I'd like to go and give you another biblical example of a mission statement, how we might help further the goals of the church and the vision and the mission. If you'd please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 9, read of a very encouraging example. Acts chapter 9, we'll start in verse 36. And this is about a lady who, her name was Tabitha. Verse 36, it says, "At Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them." Dorcas, just another name for Tabitha. "But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, 'Tabitha, arise.' And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up." So, brethren, what I want to point out is there were all these widows there, after she had died, and they were showing Peter all the garments and the clothing that Tabitha had made for them. Now, Tabitha's mission statement, her personal mission statement, might have been something like this: "My purpose is to clothe the brethren and care for the widows." It's specific, it's actionable, it's something that she did, that she could help the brethren to fulfill one of their needs so that they could go out and then continue to fulfill the mission of the church. So that might be another good example of what a mission statement would look like. Now, brethren, I know a man whose mission statement led him to lead quite an extraordinary life, led him to be able to live all around the world and do a lot of really wonderful things. And his mission statement was the following. He said, "I want to serve God and his people, and I want to serve my country without carrying a gun." So that was pretty specific, and he was able to find a way to accomplish both, and it really led to a wonderful life. So that's another good example of a personal mission statement. And one last example before I conclude. My family, we crafted a personal family mission statement. So it's not quite a personal mission statement, but it's a mission statement for the family to give clarity to what we want to accomplish in raising our children. And it took a long time. We had 12 hours in the car after the Feast of Tabernacles this past, driving back up from Panama City Beach. And it's really hard. After I read it to you, or I actually memorize it, so I won't have to look at my notes. And you'll think, well, that's not that big of a deal. But it's really hard to take those notions in your head and try to crystallize it into something that's really concise and really says what you mean it to say. So here's our family mission statement. The Clore family strives to reflect Jesus Christ in everything we think, say, and do. Our foundation is the Bible. Our motivation is love. And our action is service. So every time that the children are doing something we don't want, we say, do you remember what our mission statement is? It helps give us clarity. It helps give us focus. It helps remind us what's really important in our life and where we're trying to go with our life. So, brethren, how do we start to craft a personal mission statement? Well, I think we have to start by asking ourselves quite a lot of questions. You need to ask yourself, what's important to me? What am I trying to accomplish? And you need to try to answer that question as specific as possible. You can't say something like, well, I want to be nice. That's way too vague and doesn't give you any direction. So you need to try to be as specific as possible. Also ask yourself, how can I accomplish my goals, live my values? What do I like to do? What am I passionate about? What am I good at? Because, brethren, God gives every single one of us gifts. And I think those gifts are a clue as to what our purpose in life is. I don't believe that a loving God would say, your purpose is to do something that you're definitely not good at and will never be good at. Because if you work on all your weaknesses and you strive really hard to bring your weaknesses up, I think the best you'll ever become is mediocre because it's not your natural talent. So try to find out where what your natural talents are, what you're naturally good at, hone those, work on those, achieve a level of mastery of your gifts that God has given you, and you can accomplish so much for not only your own personal life, but to further the mission and the vision of the Church of God. So figure out a way to use your strengths, use your passions to accomplish your mission. And most importantly, brethren, we need to pray about it, right? We need to pray about it and ask God for guidance. So brethren, finally, last thing I'd like to just put out there is to encourage you not to become discouraged when you start this process. It is very, very hard. I know I've personally struggled with coming up with a mission statement for myself. It's hard to distill everything down into something, like I said, that's complete, focused, and memorable. Just this afternoon, I told my wife what my personal mission statement was, coming to church. She said, well, you're not doing that. And you know what, brethren, we need to be kind to ourselves. We need to recognize that there's a gap between who we are and who we think we are, what we think we want and what we really want. There's a gap. And we just need to be merciful to ourselves. And it's okay, because we need to first acknowledge it and recognize it and identify it. And if we're not happy with it, we can then take steps to change it. But we can't, you know, the worst thing to do is just sort of delude ourselves into thinking, this is what I want, and we don't really want it. So we need to be honest with ourselves. And then we can take steps to change. And God has built this human life so that we're always changing, aren't we? We're always turning into a different version of ourselves. I'm not the same person I was when I was 5 years old, and neither are you. So that's a good thing. So brethren, it does take a lot of time, and God has given us the wonderful gift of time called the Sabbath, where we have that built-in time block to rest, to reflect on our priorities, what we want out of life, how we want to help other people. So I encourage you to take the next couple Sabbaths to write down your personal mission statement. And the first time you write it down, you won't be happy with it, trust me. And write it down again and revise it until it's something that you're happy with and something that you can live. And that's the most important thing, is don't file it away in a drawer after you've done all this hard work. Go out, brethren, and live your mission statement.